Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, want you to get to your feet, because we get ready to praise God. We get ready to lift up a name that's high above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue must confess that He is Lord. Come on, everybody, sing along with us. Here we go, y'all. Come on. Read about your love. Read about your grace. Yeah. From your birth.
Good afternoon. This is Global Gospel. It's Saturday again at the 1 o'clock hour. This is your host, Reverend Lamar Townsend. Our theme is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. It is our prayer that someone will hear the gospel and be saved, that somebody would be touched, healed, delivered, encouraged on today, because our days, we know that they're stressful, they're crowded, they're hectic, our nights are long, and sometimes they're sad and lonely. But we declare on today, between the living and the dead, that whatever the situation is, Jesus Christ is the answer. He came to bring you peace, hope, and joy on today. But wherever you are, in the north, the south, the east, or the west, know today that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Listen in today as we hear a word from the Lord. We have a special guest that will be calling in just a few minutes, and we're delighted to everyone, to all our listeners, those that are listening, wherever you're listening in from, Florida, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York. We've had a variety of people to call in and listen over the past few weeks, and we just look forward to all that God has in store for us. We're going to be asking a question today: is salvation relevant? And our special guest, with the help of the Lord, is going to help us answer that question on today. Once again, this is Global Gospel, and we're delighted that everyone is listening in today. We're going to listen to another song, and then we'll be right back with our special guest. Listen in. I was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Tell your family, tell your friends to listen into Global Gospel. That's www.blocktalkradio.com/global-gospel. Tell them to listen in on today. If you want to call in later and speak to us, you can call in at 619-924-0800. Stay tuned.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're back. And once again, this is your host, Reverend Lamar Townsend, Global Gospel. And we have a special guest on this afternoon. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there? Special guest, are you there? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
God bless you. Who are we speaking with?
This is Minister Jennifer Williams. How are you, sir?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for this opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ today.
Thank you for calling in with us today. So tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself.
I currently reside in Washington, D.C. I am a member. I'm currently attending Capital Temple Ministries, where my pastor is Pastor Jamie McClennan. And I am, my earliest experience, I'll just talk about my earliest experience. I was brought and I was raised in the church. And so ever since I can remember, I have been in church. But I did not really experience Jesus Christ until I moved to Washington, D.C. to know what he was really about and let him take deep root in my heart. So I am a person who loves the Lord and who wants to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone who will listen so that lives will be changed, delivered, healed, and set free.
Okay. That's a blessing. Now, you said you grew up in the church, but it wasn't until you moved to Washington, D.C. that you really got to know who God was. And so what was it that, you know, if you've been in church, so obviously you heard about him before. So what made it the message so different?
Well, I didn't say this before. My parents are pastors in South Carolina, and so that's why I grew up in church, because I'm a PK. And so you hear it and you hear it and you hear it many times in a week. And a lot of times we live off what we've heard and we live off the lives of our parents, but until we get that real experience with him. And so I lived off of it. I heard the word, but I never let it take root in my heart and really allow the Lord to receive it, but to come into my heart, to experience him like I should experience him. And so when I moved here, a lot of things went on. And believe me, parents, as you teach your children and you raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, they will not depart. They might go out a little bit, but it's just it's like a leash. It'll yank them back, and they'll remember. And so God brought it back to my remembrance, and I went back to church and I gave my heart. I gave my heart to Christ, and so from there I allowed the Lord to walk in the call that God has called me to do.
That's powerful. So now, would you say that, seeing that you grew up in church, your parents pastors, would you say that that was frustrating? Was it a little overbearing or too much to take in at one time?
It was definitely overbearing. It was definitely overbearing at times, because you have people who attend church. They look at the first family as a whole, as one. So although my mom and dad was called to ministry, and I was called as well, I just was not walking in it at that time. I was a kid growing up, so I didn't understand all of those things. But we were judged on that, so it was very frustrating at times. Yes.
Right. So what would you tell? And I'm sure perhaps there's somebody else that's a PK out there that's listening in. What would you tell them that they may be experiencing that same frustration and, you know, people are looking at them differently, or the expectations of them are different and they're just a normal human being like everybody else? What would you have them to know?
First of all, you have to give it to God, and you really have to let the Lord guide you in your path and be who God has called you to be. Because everyone who is in a first family is not called to preach. They might have another line of ministry that might not even pertain to a microphone. So you have to let the Lord develop you and what he has called you to do, and you have to give all of that to God so he can give you the peace and the joy that you need to walk in what he's called you to do. So it won't even matter what people say. It won't matter how they look. It won't matter. And you will, your focus will be God.
Okay. All right. That's very good. That's good that, you know, teach people to be individuals. And, you know, the best person at being you is you.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
You can't be somebody that you're not. And a lot of people get caught up and trapped in that. And then eventually down the road, their true colors come out and they're like, this is not for me. So you don't even have to take yourself.
And that comes from losing focus. It comes from losing focus on the path that God has for you. And so do not lose focus. I don't care if your mom and dad are called to the ministry. Whatever path that God has for you, whether it's ushering at the door or trusting in the church, whatever it is, you walk in that path.
Right. So now that you are actively, you know, you're walking in your calling in ministry, what are some of the things that are you doing in ministry?
Right now, I am preaching and teaching the opportunities are presented. I do help my parents in ministry in South Carolina, and I do have a space in ministry here in Washington, D.C. And so whatever God has called me to do in the area of preaching and teaching and reaching out to people in the community, wherever I can, the downtrodden, the struggling believer, the struggling disciple, the unbeliever that has not decided to give God a chance yet, is my job to share light on the gospel so they will know that Jesus loves them.
Right. And so sharing the gospel, which brings me to our question for today. Is salvation relevant? And I did some research, and I was reading some things about millennials. And what I found out, this, some information I came across, it said that in the U.S., United States of America, millennials are the least likely to be religious when compared to older generations. There's a trend towards irreligion that has been increasing since the 1940s. 29% of Americans born between 1983 and 1984 are irreligious, as opposed to 21% born between 1963 and 1981. So with that type of information and statistics, has the need for salvation gone away?
Or has it increased? More now. It has increased. It's more now than it's ever been before. The millennials, they are more open-minded. They're more liberal. They're more expressive. They're more in agreement with the uprising of the movements and the rights and the groups for everyone to be free and to live how they will. And so that's why they call them the Y Movement, because they don't want those rules and regulations, because we deem religion as just rules and regulations, physical. We don't go in the heart. We look on the outside. And so the millennials are pushing back on that because they don't want to be bound by any rule or regulation. But in 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them." So as we go further living, the eyes of the millennials have been blinded, of the world have been blinded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it is our job as believers, as disciples, followers of Jesus, to shine a light on that so that they can see that you can live successful and in Jesus, that you can give your heart to Christ, you can surrender your will, your way unto him. And that's the thing, they want to have that freedom to live how they want. And it's just the physical thing, they don't want to be bound by things. So you have all these movements, the Me Too movement, you have all of these things happening. But the thing about Jesus, he accepts everyone. He accepts the violated, the violators. He accepts the Black Lives Matter, because in Jesus, all lives matter. So we have to understand where we fit in all of these movements that are rising up, where we fit with the millennials, where we fit in all of these things, that the message can never change. The method of how you deliver the message might change, but the message has always to be Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Right. And so, like, you mentioned a lot of the movements like Me Too and Black Lives Matter and you know, there's a lot of movements going on. It's like almost like we're going back to the 60s or something, because there's a lot of social unrest and tension. And the thing is that this generation, they're just not taking it anymore. Do you think that's taken the light or focus off of God? Because it seems like everybody has found their own state of their own cause that they're after. And I don't want to bring up any, you know, popular people, but people, one of the things that made Billy Graham so famous and what people, a lot of things that people have talked about. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, a lot of people have mentioned the fact that he always stuck with the message of Jesus Christ. And although he was a part of social change, he never strayed from that message. How do you think, because this, you know, like we have people like Dr. King, and, you know, he was a minister of the gospel, and he was leading the civil rights movement. But now we don't have as many religious people involved in movements. Do you think that presents an issue for us, why some of these millennials aren't gravitating towards Christ?
Well, I think they think we have a place there, but our place is to stick with the gospel. So we can't get caught up in those movements, because a lot of those are movements, and there's nothing against it, because I don't believe in domestic violence or African-Americans being singled out or women
right.
being violated in any way. I don't agree with any of that. But we also
right.
have to stick with the truth of the gospel, because a lot of those movements are created out of the emotions that they feel, out of the hurts, out of the pains that they've gone through in life. So they want to stop others from feeling that. But Jesus can
right.
do all of that. He can do all of that. And then you don't have to single anybody out. So the person that has been violated, he will take them in. He will forgive the ones who have violated others. So no one will be exempt. No one will be exempt. So we have to stay on the side of Jesus and not get caught up in the politics.
Right. I think that's well said. And what we're going to do is we're going to give open up. You just remind the listeners to know that they can call in at 619-924-0800. And once again, we have our special guest today is Minister Jennifer Williams, and she's calling in today from Washington, D.C. That is the capital of our nation. So we're going to take a brief break, and we'll be right back. You can call us at 619-924-0800. Stay tuned. Again, we're back. This is Global Gospel. Our special guest today, Minister Jennifer Williams, and we've been talking about a lot of social change. We've been talking about millennials. We've been talking about the Y generation. We've been talking about salvation, its relevancy. And perhaps someone today is listening. They're not really sure what salvation means. In your own words, tell us what salvation is.
Salvation is just simply Jesus rescuing us from any and everything that's going on in our lives, any sin, any bondage, any oppression, anything that's going on. Is just receiving it into our heart and letting him rescue us and giving us access to eternal life.
Wow, that's powerful because, you know, a lot of people, you know, will give you a lot of different answers. You know, if you come to church, they'll give you a lot of, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can do this and you can't do that. And, you know, that's where conviction steps in. And, you know, people, they have to let Christ convict them about certain things. But also they need to be taught. So I would say, you know, that, you know, studying God's word is very important to achieving personal salvation. Somebody else may be listening today and, you know, they're in a situation and they just can't seem, they feel like there's no rescue for them. What would you say to them?
Jesus is the answer to everything. There is nothing that he cannot save you from, nothing that he cannot rescue you from. And I pray today that you meet someone that can introduce you to Jesus, because in the word it says he will never leave you or forsake you. And there is no one else in the world that can make that promise and actually keep it. So there's nothing God can't do for you. No, your life will not be perfect, but I promise you that he will be there through it all. And Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek the kingdom first and all his righteousness," and he's going to add everything that you need, because he knows what you need. He's God, and he's God alone, and whatever you need, he can supply. He can give you the joy, the peace, the love, the comfort, everything that you need. He is there to give it to you. So all you have to do is, as you receive it by faith, is believe that he can do it. And the grace of God is enough for you to receive him by faith, and he will come into your heart. And I promise you, he will stay with you. He will sup with you. He will be with you. And you will see a change. He will wash you inside out.
Thank you. And thank you for giving us scripture, because, you know, so many times people get caught up in cliches and everything. But, you know, God's word cannot fail us. And so it's so
right.
Important that when we do answer people, we give them Bible principles. Because there's so many people out there that are giving out information, but it's not Bible principles. And that's how you
right,
can get caught up in going astray, you know. So is there anything else that you'd just like to add before, you know, we close out this segment to what you'd like to tell our listeners that are listening today?
Sure. It says, this is to the believer, Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that he promised." So the believers that are out there, they're actually disciples of Jesus Christ, hold fast and maintain your confession so that you don't be deceived and distracted by the enemy, because he is on his job and he's seeking whom he may devour. So stay on the path. Stay in the way of God, understanding that his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, his timing is not our timing, and what he promised, he will fulfill, he will manifest. To the unbeliever, understand that Jesus is the way. There is no other way. You tried everything. Give him a try. He will be there. He will give you the peace that you need. You have tried everything, and you see that it has not worked. You have been in a spiral, a circle. God has come to seek and save that which is lost. And if you are lost, you can be found. Receive him into your heart today, and you will not be disappointed.
Yes. Wow. Thank you. I thank you again, Minister Williams, for joining us today, for helping us answer the question, is salvation relevant, telling us how we can be saved, telling us who our Savior is, and certainly just tell us again what your church association is there in Washington, D.C., and perhaps somebody wants to stop by, tell them what time they can stop by.
Okay, it's Capital Temple Ministry, and we start at 10 a.m., and it's 3100 18th Street Northeast, Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And you definitely will receive the word. A word is definitely happening. And it's not just a song and a dance, it's a word. It's, we need to hear a word in these hours and this season that we're in. A word is important. Songs are important. But the most important part in the service is hearing the word of God.
Right. And growing up, that's what they said. They told us that the word is the only thing that's going to keep you. So
Right, exactly. Is
certainly important that we do hear the word and that we do receive the word and we apply it to our lives and we live by the word. How about you shout out your parents?
Oh, my parents are in South Carolina. My church there is Family Life Worship Center. And my father is Bishop Jehazel Williams Sr. And the co-pastor is Lady Viola Williams.
Okay. So thank God that we know that you came from a great ministry and we know that you're continuing ministry elsewhere. You know, God sends us out to different parts of the vineyard. And so we're grateful for the work that you are doing there in Washington, D.C. We're grateful for the work that you're helping with in South Carolina. And we thank you for, you know, sharing with us on this Saturday afternoon, this spring afternoon. And before you go, I know you have a busy schedule and I know you have to be in your studies because I know that you're full of the word. So I don't want to hold you all afternoon, but if we give anybody else the opportunity, it's 619-924-0800 if you want to call in on this afternoon. And just before you go, I want you to offer a word of prayer to all of our listeners, to those that are saved, to those that are unsaved, to those that are confused, to those that are downhearted, to those that are oppressed. You know, they just may be going through something serious on today. It may be a life or death situation for them. They may be on the brink of suicide or maybe on the brink of killing somebody else, but we just want you to offer a prayer to all that are listening.
Okay. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing in the word. For you are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords. You are our sustainer. You are our direction. You are our peace. And we give your name great praise. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness towards us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your sacrifice you made on the cross for delivering and rescuing us from death and providing us access to eternal life. God, I pray now for the sinner that does not know you, God, and the pardon of their sins. God, let them meet someone. Let them see something that will bring their minds back to you, that they will be willing, God. Break up the solid ground. Take the blinders off their eyes and unstop the deaf ears so that they are able to see you, God, so they will give their hearts to you. They will run and say, what must I do to be saved, God, because it's you and only you. You are the only true and living God. And, God, we shine a light on your word. God, we will be a representation of who you need us to be in the land. God, the disciples will be who you have called us to be. We will stay on the side of you. We will not change the message. The message can change, but the message will stay the same. God, we thank you. We will uplift you. We will live what we say. God, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done and everything that you're going to do. God, we bind fear and anxiety. God, we bind suicide and murder. God, we bind sabotage and anything that is not like you, God. God, and we release the spirit of joy and peace and love, God, in the land. We will release the spirit of salvation, God, and we thank you for what you're doing because we win. We are already winners before the foundation of the earth. God, you have already won. You did it on the cross, and God, thank you for your resurrection power. Thank you for your love, and we thank you for what you've done for us, and we thank you what you shall continue to do. We thank you before we know we win, and we operate in victory, from victory, in Jesus' name, amen.
We need a word for the people's pain. You. It's my offering.
Tamela, man, take me to the King. Thank you again, Minister Jennifer Williams, for joining us this afternoon all the way from Washington, D.C., shouting us out in New York, and to all those that are listening around the globe, around the world, because this is Blog Talk Radio, and it certainly takes us around the world, and the gospel is going places that we physically cannot go. Thank you again, Minister Williams. Is there anyone else that you would like to shout out?
No, I think that's pretty much it. My family in South Carolina. But, yeah, that's
okay.
It.
Okay. All right. Well, again.
And I appreciate the opportunity. The opportunity to be on your show.
Thank you. I mean, it's a pleasure to have you on, because the people, they need to hear a young voice. And sometimes, you know, we need to hear something fresh, or somebody fresh that we haven't heard from before. And sometimes people get caught up in the same old. And like you said, growing up in church, you know, you hear it over and over again. And then it kind of becomes like, you know, white noise. It's like that clock that's just ticking, and you don't always hear it tick. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
and I appreciate
the
passion that you have to spread the gospel. So I pray God's blessings be upon you, and that doors open in the season of your life for you to walk into in your next level. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you. To God be the glory. Thank you for your words of encouragement. And, you know, I had the opportunity, I think, to share, I think 2 years ago, I was in D.C. And
yeah.
I think you came out and supported. And I also went to Family Life Worship Center in
You went to South Carolina.
South Carolina.
And they really enjoyed
All the way to South Kakalaki. I enjoyed being there. We received with love. We ate physical food.
And spiritual food.
And spiritual food.
Yes, that's right.
So we thank God for the fellowship, and we thank God that it's always great when family can connect in ministry.
Absolutely.
You know. Sometimes
Absolutely.
We connect for so many things that are negative, or when somebody dies, you know,
exactly.
people get together. But it's always important that we get together and we celebrate life and celebrate Christ and to know him. And it's great. You have a double relationship. You have a family relationship, and you have a relationship.
A spiritual relationship.
Through,
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Through Jesus Christ.
And that's such a blessing.
Thank you. Now, do you have how do you deal with is your ministry there? I know in South Carolina you have a tremendous outreach for young people.
We do.
You feed young people. You clothe young people. I know every year you have a great back to school.
We have a school that is located directly across the street, and so we adopted the school. So whatever the need is, they might have a program for food for the weekend. That's the newest program where they have children that go hungry from Friday until they return to school on Monday. So we've taken on that program, and there's a few other programs that we're taking on to make sure that the children are fed and clothed. And as you said, we do the book bag for back to school every year in August. So we do turkeys. We feed the community at least once every 2 to 3 months and give out clothing. So we try to reach out to the community as often as possible, because that's what it's all about.
Right. And it's taking the message out. You know, certainly we have to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. It's part of ministry. It actually,
Absolutely.
Jesus required that of us. And he made the statement to Peter about doing that, about feeding the sheep. And in D.C., what types of programs is available at your church there?
Well, we've done some of the same things that we've done in South Carolina. We've done the book, the backpack, and Right now we're doing the homeless packages, which consists of trial size toothpaste, mouthwash, and we, you know, want to have that in the car. So if you meet someone that's homeless or might need it, you pass it out, because we just got out of the winter. So we just have those packages available for people who need it. So just trying to reach out to the community. And if there's a need that arrives during Thanksgiving or Christmas or anything like that, we will give out baskets, just trying to make sure that not just the people in the community, people in your church are okay, because sometimes we reach out to the community and we miss out on the people that's actually there that might have a need. So.
Right. We thank you, and we appreciate that you all are taking the gospel outside of the four walls, because so many people get it twisted that ministry is inside on Sunday morning when you're standing in the pulpit.
Absolutely.
Preaching to people. But certainly there's a whole world out there that is just waiting for us to leave outside.
Yeah, waiting to hear. Yeah.
Right.
And what you're doing,
and they're hungry.
That's a good thing.
Right. And we thank God for all the work that you're doing. Once again, I thank you for calling in. And we love you. Global Gospel loves
you.
Thank
you so much. Love
and
you too.
Tell us who we're speaking to again.
This is Minister Jennifer Williams, and you're listening to Global Gospel.
Thank you. And God
thank
bless.
You.
We love you.
God bless you, and I love you.
We're taking a break. Global Gospel, 619-924-0800. This is for those that are into more traditional music. I don't want anybody to be left out, but this is a song that many of us grew up on, and we asked the question today, is salvation relevant? And yes, it's relevant more than any time ever before, but certainly we have to be patient with those that haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ into their life as of yet. So let's keep in mind that everybody isn't where they should be, but with the hope of God, with Christ, anything is possible. And we keep praying that everyone reaches that point where they need to be.
Lord, 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 Lord. Be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Believe.
Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. That was James Cleveland and Albertina Walker. That was classic gospel music at its best. And we have to remember that we have to be patient with others because God is patient with us. Patience is certainly a virtue. And one of my favorite scripture in Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." So no matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like, certainly God has an expected end planned for you and I both. And after we've gone through the fire, certainly we'll come forth as pure gold. And we know that gold has to go through a refining process where all the impurities have to burn off. And certainly God does the same thing with us sometimes. He has to burn off all the impurities and everything that's not like him, because certainly he has a plan for our life, because he wants the best for us. And whom he loveth, he chasteneth. And we know that weeping may endure for a night, but certainly joy comes in the morning. God has plans for you. Continue to listen in. We have about 15 minutes left. Continue to listen to our gospel music and be encouraged, knowing that Jesus Christ is the answer for the world today.
Tomorrow holds, and yesterday is through. Remember, I know the plan I have for you. That's what the Lord said. He said, "See, I know the plan I have for you." And you, and you, and you, and see, I know to the word you're going through. Oh, yes, I do. So when you can't see what tomorrow holds, and yesterday is through, remember, I know the plan I have for you. And here's the plan. This is what he says.
Give him praise if you believe that in this house tonight. just learn to praise him. He's got a plan. He'll make a way of escape for you. Oh, yes, he will. He will. Yes, he will. Hallelujah. Woo! I've got a word in here for somebody tonight. Anybody ready just to be encouraged? I know you've been encouraged tonight, but are you ready to go a little bit higher? You're going to leave flying tonight. You're going to leave and say, I know that I know that I know it's going to be all right.
I know the plans. God has plans for us. Why does he have plans for us? Because he loves us. When nobody else loves us, know that Christ died for you. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. He shed his blood on Calvary for the remission of our sins. And if without the shedding of his blood, his work, the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, would not have been done. It would not have been completed. And certainly we wouldn't have a choice. But today we have a right to the tree of life because Christ loves us. I love him, the songwriter said. I love him because he first loved me. He purchased my salvation on Calvary. That's why I love him. On this afternoon, on this Saturday afternoon, if nobody else loves you, remember that Christ loves you. And certainly for that reason, he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy of all the glory and honor because there is none like him. He woke you up this morning. He gave you life, health, and strength. And certainly you have the activity of your limbs. And so many people laid down last night and they didn't wake up this morning. They woke up, it was a bomb in their house, or they woke up and they had experienced some type of tragedy or loss in the night. But certainly we praise God that it could have been worse, but we thank God that we're here and God gave us another chance.
And mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of the afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves.
Saturday afternoon, April the 14th, 2018. Our very special guest today was Minister Jennifer Williams calling in from Washington, D.C., and we're thankful for her words of encouragement on today. We thank God for her prayer, and certainly we pray that somebody was encouraged on today, that somebody was healed, delivered, saved, set free, that someone was uplifted, that someone's life was changed. We ask you to just let everyone know to listen in every Saturday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. in this season to Global Gospel with your host, Reverend Lamar Townsend. And certainly you want to end this afternoon with a high praise because certainly we have so much to praise God for because he's good and he's kind and his mercy is everlasting and it endures into all generations. His truth endures to all generations. And every day he gives us new mercy because we do so many things in the course of one day that certainly it's enough to take us out and take somebody else out. But we thank God that he gives us mercy, new mercy every day. So we just want to continue to give God glory, honor, and praise. We pray that everyone enjoys the rest of their Saturday and just continue to praise God for all he's done.
If you have